Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska!
Did you ever see anything about Seska that made you suspicious?
Yes.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, April 20. It's 420, dude. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 820. That's actually real. It actually is the 820th day of the Biden-Harris administration. 565 days until the 24th presidential election. Instagram, the Bob Seska. Twitter, BobSeska_go. For now. Spoutable, Bob Seska. Patreon page, BobSeskaShow.com. And sitting right over there is the Goth Ninjas. Yeah. It is Spicy Jody Hamilton from the From the Bunker podcast. Patreon.com/FromTheBunker. Also the Stephanie Miller Show. StephanieMiller.com. Also freespeech.org. And David Ferguson, his music project is Astral Summer. AstralSummer.bandcamp.com. All right, Goth Ninjas. The theme of the day is bad news for bad people.
Awesome. And I'm so high.
Happy 420.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is 420, which means, as the tradition goes, we have to play this.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news. On Cullendon Lane, Jacksonville, Florida, Chuck Buick finally gave up. Chuck enjoys marijuana. So he decided to accept Paul Harvey's suggestion. He gave up. He went to the phone. He called me. He ordered a bong. Bong, that's a pipe used to smoke marijuana.
Yeah.
I want you to hear this carefully because you're thinking about a Valentine's Day present for somebody you love very much. Quote, my marijuana bong arrived Saturday, and after I opened the box, I was in shock. My eyes were locked open wide. My whole house was now a concert hall. I went to the washroom, and even from there, it sounded like a real live lady singing right outside the door. Quote, with heat eating your ears, you're gouging out and tearing loose and pulling apart, gulping air and tasting black. Your windpipe is closing and you've lost track of which way is out. There's a searing ember down your neck. Search, rescue, ventilate. Somebody's singed a kitten.
What?
I'm listening to all my old CDs again because I have never really heard them before. Now, for that Valentine's Day gift, it's not too early for you to choose a bong. If you're anything but happy with it, I'll buy it back. To locate your nearest dealer, telephone 1-800-282-BONG.
Oh, man, classic.
Oh, will you send me that? I've got to
make
it up for Ronnie.
How? What just happened?
That is, I have nothing to do with that, by the way. Just got to make that clear, that I didn't put that together because I'm not funny enough to conceive of that. Someone in radio years and years and years ago took one of Paul Harvey's Bose acoustic wave speaker commercials, one of his endorsements from The Rest of the Story or Paul Harvey News and Comment, and then mixed it in with clips from some other news story that Paul Harvey was doing about a guy who burned his house down because he was smoking pot. And they mashed it all up together and turned it into a Paul Harvey commercial for a bong. Which is utterly fucking
hilarious.
You got
to get the second syllable, the release. Is important. Bong.
I love playing that. I play that like every 420. That's like our Christmas tree for 420. is that Paul Harvey bit. So I wish I could find the DJ or whoever it was who made that goddamn thing, because it is flawless. And it was back in the days when they used to edit shit together on magnetic tape, on a tabletop reel-to-reel thing with a razor blade.
Sticky tape.
Yeah, grease pencil. And, you know, that I used to love doing that. That was just so much fun to cut shit together with just little strips of tape with way before digital editing. And
you have a really weird idea of fun, Seska.
It's very stressful. I've done it.
I found it extremely stressful the one time I did it. Digital is so much easier because you can always undo.
That is true. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And it's really hard to cue shit up. You know, whoop.
Someone singed a kitten.
and then the Paul Harvey giggle. just amazing. Okay, so let's start off here, because right after we finish Tuesday's show, the universe fucking hates me. I mean, sometimes it works out. Like Friday, for example, the Supreme Court thing was handed down about mifepristone, and it happened during the after party, so we were able to talk about it. So sometimes it works out. But Tuesday, Buzz and I wrapped up the show after spending like, I don't know, 25 minutes, a half an hour talking about Dominion and how it's going to go to trial and we can't wait for the courtroom sketches and all that shit. It was like we were being teed up for massive crushing disappointment as soon as the show finished. So it's like Buzz and I couldn't wait to text each other with like all caps saying, fuck.
I would still listen to those shows.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Mary Trump's show from before they announced that they were settling. You know, and I think people, do you notice that there are fewer listeners, or do you have a way to track that?
I don't know. I you know what? Ultimately, I don't care. It's just, it's become a bit. It's become a hilarious sort of, oh, look, it happened again. Womp, womp. Yeah.
I actually enjoy those shows because it's fascinating to like look at like, oh, it's us before. You know?
Yeah, so Dominion settled right before going to trial. Maybe it was the composition of the jury, which was predominantly black men. And maybe that frightened Rupert Murdoch and his team. Yeah. I don't know what, but
it should.
They did settle right at the last second for $787 million, which is just a little under half of what they were asking for, which was, what, $1.6 billion? No apology. No required apology. Of course they weren't going to do my idea. No one listens to me.
I wanted everybody for an entire month, their entire shows, to be just that, apologies.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I wanted fucking red noses and clown shoes, like, like enforced by guns, you know, like, put it on, Tucker! And like,
yeah,
having,
yeah.
Like, waddle out there, you know, in his clown pants.
Right. Well, Buzz and I talked about some sort of warning label at the top of every primetime show, at the top of Fox and Friends in the morning.
Oh, like, so I would do it at the top, the middle, every commercial break coming back from going into every commercial break.
Yes.
Remember, folks, these aren't facts.
Right.
Much of what you hear today is fabricated and for entertainment purposes only. And that would have been amazing. But of course, you know, Dominion was in this to rectify the damage that had been done from the defamatory lies on Fox News Channel. I don't think we would have gotten much more than what we already had this gone to trial, other than the satisfaction of seeing all these assholes be inconvenienced, having to drag themselves into court. They set up a tent outside so they would be disguised from the paparazzi looking in. And so there would have been no cameras in the courtroom, no audio recordings in the courtroom. It would have just been amazing courtroom sketches of Jeanine Pirro, Maria Bartiromo, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Lou Dobbs. I would have loved that. But, you know, we can't always get the fun things, can we?
And with this, always get what we want.
Exactly. As Donald Trump likes to say via that song before every rally. Because,
which is so weird.
Yeah.
Because it's a really good song, actually.
But. Yeah, well, of course. He's ruining it, and they sued him to get him to stop playing it, and yet he still plays it. Anyway, so I think what we have to do is use the information we were given, which is we got all those text messages, we got all those emails. It would have just been re-presented in court. All of the people who were deposed during that pre-trial phase, all that information would have just been repeated in court. Rupert Murdoch admitting under oath that the network lied to its own viewers. That's still on the record. All those text messages and everything still on the record. We have all of that. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
None of that is as good as fat little Tucker sitting on the witness stand with bullets popping out on his upper lip, you know.
Right. So there's still Smartmatic around the corner. Smartmatic is going after them, and they, I think, have additional evidence that they're going to present.
But what Stephanie reported this morning is there's a because of this payout, they're going to get a tax write-off. And they only have to pay like $500 million because their insurance is going to cover the rest. But any other lawsuits, insurance this year is tapped out, so they will owe any more money out of, you know, Fox's pockets. But the other thing is a tax write-off, which is lame. Two, I don't think so. If you lose a judgment, you shouldn't get a benefit from that. That's just bad tax law.
Yeah, it is.
Because you've – especially a settlement. Mm-hmm. You know, you admitting that you did something wrong? No, thank you. You should not be able to get a tax benefit from that one iota,
yeah.
Especially if you settle. Secondly, because Dominion's going after Newsmax and OAN, they're going to sue them out of business because they don't have $1 billion in revenue a year.
Yeah, and that's also part of the upside that this still...
It's an upside for the humanity, but it's also an upside for Fox.
Right. Well, even if the jury had awarded, even if they had gone to trial and the jury had awarded Dominion the full amount they were asking, $1.6 billion, it still wouldn't have made a dent in Fox News's revenue stream. What are they grossing? Something like $14 billion a quarter, something along those lines, or a month? I don't know.
Well, I think they had $4 billion in liquid insolvent assets on hand. So they wouldn't have had to sell anything they have lost, you know, should they lose up to $4 billion right now. They've got the money available.
So much.
Yeah.
But if they Smartmatic's suing for $2.5 billion and they're a bigger company, so they can sit on this.
Mm-hmm.
Dominion's this much smaller company. I'm bummed that Fox didn't have to admit to its viewers. But by the same token, their viewers would be like, oh, they're being forced to do this. There's a gun held to their heads. They don't really mean this, that kind of shit.
So this wouldn't have ever. We got to calibrate our expectations with these things. Neither of these lawsuits would ever knock Fox News off the air. Fox News will continue to lie on all of its opinion shows. It will continue to shave the corners around the truth on its news programming by stacking the news items with a particular far-right agenda. These things will continue on and on and on. This, regardless of the outcome of this, there was no chance Fox News was ever going to, you know, vaporize. It's just not going to happen. And it's not going to happen.
Which is why I say we need to take off and nuke the site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
Just take down their satellites.
Yeah. Well, I know Kimberly and I were going over and over this Tuesday night and then again last night and trying to figure out what's next. And if there's really going to be something that could hold Fox News accountable the way we want them held accountable, it would have to be some sort of massive class action lawsuit. And I have no idea what grounds that would be, what the parameter, how that would even come together. You need someone like Mark Elias or some other crusading left-leaning attorney to put this, or this together.
Producer's lawsuit.
Well, my thing is like when Tucker Carlson was kept airing the same footage from January 6th saying it was a tourist attraction, blah, 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 blah. Anybody that was injured that day should sue him.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think there's got to be some kind of grounds as far as defrauding the public or I don't know. It would have to be like a group of Fox News viewers because it would have to be people who were directly impacted by those lies. And whether it's these lies, whether it's the election lies or it's some other thing, I mean, I don't know what that would entail.
The things I'm hearing, though, is that this has really been a bit of a while it's not a huge financial blow to the company, it has been like a bit of a like cannonball to the side of the ship in terms of relations between the different staffs at Fox News and the like producers of the headliner shows and then the news staff. And that I feel like, again, you know, remember you know, we talked ages ago about like the Bundys and the people who were trying to form their Minutemen militia down at the Texas border, and then they split into the Minutemen and the Minutemen Patriots, and then there was the Minutemen Patriots and the People's Front of Judea, not the bloody Judean People's Front, you know. And I feel like there is like more to come, some massive destabilization thing that I think is, I mean, I don't know. I feel like, and I don't want to get my hopes too high, but I just feel like Fox News is kind of a sprayed roach right now.
Well, it's certainly damaged by this. And I think what we need to do is wrap our heads around the concept that maybe it's death by a thousand cuts. Maybe it's something like that rather than some gigantic home run smash across the face kind of thing that would destroy its reputation. And look, ultimately, we're talking about having to destroy its reputation from the perspective of the people who watch it. Because what you want to do is get those people to stop watching Fox News Channel. Whether that means, and this is the whole conundrum with this, and with Fox News, it's sort of a devil you know situation, where what'll happen is if people stop watching Fox News Channel, they'll go over to the even more radical Newsmax network or Real America News or whatever some of those other dwarf copycats of Fox News are doing, and they're far crazier than Fox News. The shit that's going on those networks is far, far worse. So do we drive people away from Fox News to an even more extremist and radical platform, or do we just deal with Fox News the way it is and continue to chip away at it? It seems to me like that is the better option. Yeah.
So many horrible people under one roof. I feel like it's just going to be like rats fighting in a bag over there. Yeah. I mean, like, keep watching, because I feel like there's more monkeys in this circus that are about to come flying out.
I agree. I think that obviously not this term, but if we're all smart voters next year, if we get the House back and the Senate, at least 60 senators, we can do it. Hard, but we can do it, and keep Joe Biden in the White House. We can put forth legislation allowing the FCC to have the same control over the internet and cable as it does over broadcast.
I'd have to think about that.
That sounds appetizing. You know, I think we really need to pay attention to the internet.
I mean, look at streaming channels. I'm talking about things that act like television.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And look, if I say something defamatory online, I should be sued. Of course I should.
Yeah.
I completely believe that. Calling Kevin McCarthy, though, an ignoramus and a traitor and feckless, I don't think those are lies.
And by the way, we got to talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene here in a second, because she was really swinging for the fences as far as setting herself up for a defamation suit.
Yeah, she was.
That was kind of cool. I mean, it's rare that we get to see someone so fulsomely stomp on the rink before, you know, when it hits them in the face. I mean, just like she went in hot, guns blazing, and it was just a total pie in the face. It was, let's talk about it.
Well, we're going to talk about that in a second, but you know who seems like he's got an intimate relationship with?
A bong.
That'd be Mike Lindell.
Oh my God, he's in so much trouble. God bless him.
Well, also, yeah, Mike Lindell has offered to go on Fox News Channel to talk about how Dominion stole the election. Because clearly he's not paying attention to anything that's happening. Let's listen to Mike Lindell and
a bong.
There we go.
Let's see. I think, Logan, I think we're going to reach out to Fox and see what they say about that. Is Fox going to finally answer our call and tell us what they have to say about this? Logan, let's ring up Fox here and see what they have to
say. By the way, he's talking to Wolverine is who he's speaking to. He's just imagining that Wolverine is there in the room. So that's who the Logan is that he's speaking to.
Logan Roy from Succession?
I'm not that up to date. I was thinking Michael York from Logan's Run.
They're going to start reporting the news now that they've settled, so there's no more lawfare. What do they have to say?
Okay, so this is just a dumb idea. Just go on Fox News and get them in trouble for the thing that they just had to settle for $787 million for. You know, it's just like dumb. No, they're not going to have you on to talk about Dominion, Mike Pillow, so give it up. But he had to pay, what, $5 million to an expert who debunked his 2020 election lies?
Yeah, he offered, you know, if somebody can, prove me wrong, I'll give you $5 million. Well, somebody proved him wrong, which was, we all should have done it. And then this judge said, yeah, you owe the money. You made a deal. Sorry, bucko.
Yeah, good job, Mike Lindell.
A bong.
But he's got all the money. You know what Fox News was saying in some of those text messages that were accumulated by Dominion is that whenever they need advertising, they just call up Mike Lindell. And then Mike Lindell infuses that network with cash by, you know, just buying up all their available inventory for the MyPillow thing. Meantime, Stephen Colbert put together his own version of a Fox News apology. This is great. He used basically took clips of people on Fox News and edited them together in the form of an apology. Here we go. Starts out with Tucker Carlson.
Before we go tonight, we want to say
we're sorry to Dominion
and to the American people. We here at Fox News
lied to you about the 2020 election.
Repeatedly and consistently.
We admit that we are guilty
of amplifying those voices.
Insane people like this guy.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell.
A guy like this is given a platform.
Because we want to make sure
when you're watching Fox News,
it will make you dumber.
My original, my slippers are back in stock.
Please take us off
television before we
allow these crooks
to turn our country into
dumps, big, massive dumps.
The audience clearly loved it, man. Perfection. See, that I would have been satisfied with that. You just played that at the top of every show. How long is that? That is 38 seconds. That's all it would take out of the course of an hour-long show on Fox News Channel to set the record straight. And we're not going to see it. That's just not going to happen. So we've got our fingers crossed for Smartmatic, and we move on, right?
Colbert should buy ad time on Fox News and just
run that.
Well,
they do turn down ad time sometimes for things that they don't air any Lincoln Project stuff. They don't air any Midas Touch if they can avoid it. I mean, they definitely pick and choose what's going to air on their... You'd have to buy a lot of money's worth of time for them to bother.
And John Oliver has tried to do that a bunch of times. Last week tonight, they were putting together some amazing commercials that they would then purchase to air on Fox News Channel. And they actually did air. And they air usually at the time and during the shows where they knew that Donald Trump would be watching.
Right.
So that was a lot of fun. So that's always a possibility. That's always a thing. Whether Fox News would allow that to be aired, I think it would take a lot of money for them to do that. A lot of money, like all the money. So meantime, speaking of awful people and bad shit happening to awful people, Elon Musk's SpaceX rocket exploded during its ascent this morning.
Does this surprise anyone? You can look at Musk and see he's got premature like all over his face. I mean, that guy is a living premature orgasm. So of course his spaceship blew up before it could get into orbit.
Well, maybe instead
they called it something else, didn't they?
Here's the statement from SpaceX, Jody. They said, as if the flight test was not exciting enough, Starship experienced a rapid, unscheduled disassembly before stage separation.
It blew up.
It blew up. Or it was, no, Jody, it was a rapid, unscheduled disassembly.
Okay, so if I ever divorce Lonnie and I'm having sex with somebody and he, you know, too soon, should I say, oh, I'm sorry you had a rapid, unscheduled disassembly?
Yeah.
Someone in the PR department was smoking
a bong.
Yeah. That's what was going on there. You couldn't pay me enough money to get on the nose of one of Elon Musk's rockets.
Not until they've flown successfully without blowing up or rapidly disassembling.
Yes. Rapid unscheduled disassembly. He should have paid.
It consciously uncoupled from
itself.
There you
go. Yeah, there you go.
Perfect.
Like Gwyneth and Chris. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So he should have been paying more attention to his rocket than he was to removing all the legacy blue checks, which was supposed to happen today. Still has not happened. Twitter isn't loading. So, oh, no, there it is. It's loading.
No, Kimberly doesn't have a blue check anymore.
Oh, no, mine just went away, too.
Allison Gill still does right now.
Yeah. Yep, mine is gone.
Doesn't. Well, he never did. Bobert still has hers, but I'm sure she's paying for it.
Yeah.
What does it cost? I haven't even really kept up with this.
$9 or $11 a month? I have no idea.
Something like that. And it's absolutely ludicrous because you don't really get anything you don't already have.
Right.
You may get extended reach. That is kind of going to be a thing. But I don't understand how or why liberals would pay Elon Musk because First of all, he's the second wealthiest man in the world. He doesn't need your goddamn money to pay for his ridiculous overpriced boondoggle. He's the second wealthiest man in the world. Good God.
Actually, Allison Gill's blue check literally just disappeared.
Okay, yeah, mine did too. I think that's why Twitter was malfunctioning. I am no longer verified on Twitter, so that's done. That era is over. Plus, Elon Musk is a guy who's changing Twitter in order to help Donald Trump become president again, and I'm seeing people giving him their money. It doesn't make any sense. You want to pay Elon Musk because you want to post videos that are longer than 3 minutes? Why? There are so many other platforms out there on which you can post your videos. You don't need to pay for the privilege of posting videos that are longer than 3 minutes, or pay for the privilege of posting long things on Twitter, longer than 280 characters. The old threads worked just fine. People would still read those threads. In fact, it would create more reach because you're posting more tweets, right? It just boggles the mind how some people can somehow in their head delude themselves into justifying support for this crackpot. And I say crackpot, but you know what? He's a bad guy. He's a bad dude. He's a bad dude, bad hombre.
He's a fail son.
Yeah. Well, this is
he's the son of an emerald mine, like apartheid billionaire.
Yep.
And he's just like buys things and breaks them, buys things and, you know, and it's just, fuck that guy.
Okay, now wait a minute. It looked like my blue check is now back.
Yeah, Allison said hers was there and then disappeared, and then she said maybe. Yeah, it's herpes. It's Twitter herpes. There you go.
I don't understand what's happening. This is so bizarre.
Yours is gone on mine, but it could be back. And Rachel Bitticoffer still has hers. Brooklyn Dad Defiant still has his.
Oh, you know what? I don't know what the hell's going on. You know what it is? I've got a plugin that shows what blue checks are verified and which ones are paid for. And maybe that's interfering with my... I have no idea.
I don't have that because I use Safari, so I don't have that.
Ultimately, I don't care. I'm not verified on Instagram. I'm not verified on Facebook, but I will never pay Mark Zuckerberg to get that badge on either of those platforms. So, I mean, I know what it's like to not be verified because Twitter, of the major social media platforms, I'm not verified on anything now. I'm not verified on Twitter, or at least that's according to what's supposed to happen today. Not verified on those other platforms. But when I talk about how Elon Musk is a terrible person, that's a legitimate gripe. I mean, here was what he was talking about on Tucker Carlson's show. That's an indication. That's the guy you're paying right now, liberals who are paying for blue checks. You're paying a guy who goes on Tucker Carlson for a two-night interview. And in that context, Elon Musk blamed birth control and abortions for the impending collapse of civilization. This is the guy liberals on Twitter are supporting by paying him. A man-child who is actively trying to re-inject disinformation into the discourse just ahead of another presidential election in which Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Yeah, call birth control and abortion the cause for the end of civilization. The world's creepiest tag team discussed the non-existent population crisis on Tuesday, with Musk blaming birth control, abortions, and whatnot. That was part of his quote, whatnot, on the impending collapse of civilization. When Carlson asked how the urge to have sex and procreate has been subverted, the Twitter CEO criticized how birth control methods have allowed people to still satisfy limbic instinct but not procreate.
Oh, fuck that.
God, he totally talks like a college freshman who just had his first massive bong rip.
Are you saying he smokes a bong? Yeah.
No, I mean, he's just like, what? Have you ever, like, thought about shit? I mean, like, really thought about it? Because it's fucking intense, man. Shit is crazy. You know, just like, this, it's just what I hear when he talks. It's just like, wah, 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 wah. I mean, God, and he's so serially incompetent. Yeah. It's the thing. Like, I mean, he has made one disastrous move at Twitter after another. He's out of feet to shoot.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's like, and it's just.
They traded notes on their shared impulse to impregnate as many women on Earth as possible.
Ew.
Tucker Carlson and Elon Musk.
It's like listening to two crusty socks and a 13-year-old's clothes hamper talk to each other. Just like wank, 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 wank. I mean, yeah. Oh my God.
Why on earth liberals? I get Cat Turd 2 paying Elon Musk. I get that. Don Jr. paying Elon Musk. Yeah, I totally get that too. I don't understand why. No one's explained it to me adequately. Okay, meantime, we got to talk about Dan Bongino's bad news. Again, bad things happening to bad people. Plus, BuzzFeed News is shutting down. We'll talk about that. I let Tiny Trump out of his cigar box. I keep him in a cigar box, sort of like the Green Mile, you know, Mr. Jingles in the cigar box.
Some cedar shavings
in there.
Pellets to eat, yeah.
Yeah, the problem is that he's really, really bitey. And so you got to be careful. I have like big gloves that you use for falconry. I use those gloves to handle Tiny Trump. But so he got out of his cigar box and he started ranting about how there's an insurrection happening in this country. And then he was talking about making concentration camps for homeless people. So these are all things we're going to discuss on the show here in the coming minutes. So stand by for more awfulness. Okay, if you're only listening to the free portion of the Bob Seska Show on Apple Podcasts, et cetera, you're only hearing the first hour or so of the show. We've been going really, really long lately. But there's an extra 20 minutes. As though that wasn't long enough, we got an extra 20 minutes of show that happens after the end credits at the end of every Tuesday and Thursday episode. And it's all happening on our Patreon page. Of course, I'm talking about the Shadow Docket podcast at patreon.com/BobSeskaShow or simply BobSeskaShow.com. It's completely unfiltered, commercial-free continuation of all the fun and news. And it's only going to cost you pennies per episode. The Shadow Docket drops every Tuesday and Thursday after the free show. And it only costs $5 per month. $5 per month. And you're going to be supporting this fully independent podcast. So there's that too. Don't miss out. BobSeskaShow.com. Bookmark it. Send it to all your friends. And we thank you in advance.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska!
Stop a single word you said, but a slow motion video keeps it all inside. Moments and memories that fill up space, so pieces of life that you can't erase, and you can't do nothing but let it get you high.
Oh, the great Mike Farley.
Now you remember.
Yeah, Mike is responsible, just so you know, not only for some great music, but he's also introduced me to many of the bands that you hear on the show, many of the recording artists, and so I'm so grateful for this. And he sent along this, knowing what's going on with my dad and stuff, he sent along this track for me to play. This is this goes back to 2007 for Mike, a song called Moments and Memories. And I'm trying not to pay attention to the lyrics right now, because I don't think I can take it at this point.
Oh my God, someone else is going to cry on the show besides me.
I'm resisting the urge, I swear to God. You know what I need?
A bong.
All right, that's better. Okay, yeah, again, the song
think
is called Moments
of
Memories.
Sad puppy. In the rain.
It's not
like
going to happen.
Sleet and rain, like all shivering and...
Oh, look, my blue check is back, by the way. Yeah, I just refreshed
it. It's going back and forth for everybody. It's hilarious.
So it's working just like a SpaceX rocket. It just is completely malfunctioning. All right. By the way, bobsesca.com/music to submit. And if you go, while you're there at bobsesca.com, look for this episode dated 420, dude. And just click on that episode link. Scroll on down and you'll find the links for all the independent music on the show today. All right. So what are we going to talk about here? Dan Bongino is parting ways with Fox News Channel. It's so sad that Dan Bongino is leaving Fox News Channel, isn't it? It is. It is so sad.
I want to be at the RNC. I want to see Patricia McCloskey. I want to scream for the GOP. I want to sit with Dan.
Whoa, is that... Oh, that was like a remix.
Oh, it's a remix. Hey.
I didn't mean to do that.
Drop the brake, Red. Drop the brake.
All right, I'm going to turn that off because I just made fun of SpaceX, and now my soundboard is malfunctioning.
So I understand that your soundboard is special.
It is.
It's a bit of a diva, but we respect it.
Yeah.
It is, when it does work... It made the Kessel Run in under 12 parsecs. I mean,
baby, hold together. Dan Bongino, the pro-Trump firebrand who turned frequent Fox News appearances into a job hosting a weekend show on the network, is out at the outlet. Bongino, aww, the host of Unfiltered and Fox Nation's Canceled in the USA. Isn't that appropriate? Aww. Isn't that ironic? His show is called Canceled, and his show got canceled.
And that just looks as a snake eating its own tail. It's a singularity. The cancellation of canceled.
He left Fox after contract negotiations fell apart, he said on Thursday. That's Dan Bongino's description of what happened. Contract negotiations with TV people don't fall apart. TV people and shows get canceled. That's why that shit happens. Dan Bongino isn't walking away from a deal to be on Fox News. He's just not. His show was canceled. But of course, he lied to his audience and he said, the show ending last week was tough. It's not some big conspiracy theory, I promise you. There is no acrimony. We just couldn't come to terms on an extension. That's really it, Bongino said. I really enjoyed myself there. They were good to me for 10 years. It's a sad day. They did give me the opportunity to do one last show. I don't want to think they showed me the door. That's on me, not on them. But I thought it was best to go this way for now. You know what that is? That's completely that he was canceled. They never offered to let him do a last show. Yeah. You're done. Your ratings suck. Bye-bye. That's why that happened. It's happened a gazillion times this way. When I was in radio and someone would get fired from the radio station, they would always say, yes, I was going to do a farewell show, but, you know, I decided not to. I decided not to do one last show. You know why you decided not to do one last show? Because it was never offered to you as an opportunity. You were shown the door. You were ushered to the sidewalk by security. And that's how that all went down.
Like I said, keep watching. That circus is going to spit out some more monkeys.
That's right.
I think that, yeah.
Meantime, BuzzFeed News is shutting down, and the announcement was made using Buffy the Vampire Slayer GIFs.
Yay!
I'm kidding. That's a joke. Aww. That's how they do things at BuzzFeed. Everything is illustrated using Buffy the Vampire Slayer GIFs. This is...
God, I remember when they, like, really overexpanded. Do you guys remember this back in, I don't know, it was during the Obama administration, it seems like, but they, like, bought all this office space in Manhattan, and then it just, like... It's the internet, guys, and the internet is like snow in Georgia. Like, you never know how much money there's going to be. Like, money on the internet is like snow in Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
You never know how much there'll be and how long it'll last.
Yeah, and this is, I think, one of the lessons that more of us need to learn from the internet and the history of the internet, which is that if you can help it, make sure you have your own platform, like your own website or something that you personally control, and that is the hub of your content. Because imagine being a TikTok celebrity, or imagine even before. Let's go back to the pre-TikTok era, where there was a website called Vine. And it was sort of like TikTok before TikTok existed. It was short form stuff. I think Vine had a 7-second limit or something like that. And people would post videos and they made careers on those videos where they accumulated advertising revenue, et cetera, right, by doing this. And they had a fan base and so on. And then suddenly overnight, boom, Vine disappears. BuzzFeed News disappears. There is a fleeting
Huffington
nature.
Post. Remember when that was like the giant, like, I mean, nothing is permanent on the internet, folks, and everything on the internet comes with an extra helping of chaos and shit.
Very well said. That's absolutely. I mean, I've been doing this, working on the internet as my career since 1997. And in that time, I have seen so many websites dominate the universe and then disappear. I mean, David, you remember Blogosphere 1.0, you know, the sort of the liberal blogosphere in those George W. Bush days, where there were so many bloggers.
I'm not allowed to talk about any of that.
There were very popular websites and very popular bloggers who dominated that space for a good long time and then just vanished. And this is the kind of thing that happens, and this is the way of things.
Exactly what happened with Blogosphere 1.0, though, is that people started to get some national attention, and this like scramble started to gain power and leverage ahead of the 2008 election.
Yeah,
and you know, a lot of people who were like old school blog people went for the Hillary camp. It was just it was kind of ugly. Like people like. Yeah, it was like this desperate scramble for access. We were the people that were like, we don't have access. That's what's cool about us, you know? Yeah.
Who rose to the highest level out of that group of bloggers, Blogosphere 1.0? And I'm talking about political.
Probably Glenn Greenwald.
Glenn Greenwald, I think, I mean, for all the wrong reasons, of course.
Yeah.
But Ezra Klein. Ezra Klein has had a pretty great career emerging almost out of nowhere during that period of time and becoming a dominating figure on the left.
Out of nowhere, except that you were roommates at your Ivy League college with Matt Iglesias. And,
okay.
You know, I mean, it's like...
I forgot about that.
Not so out of nowhere. I mean,
Other than that, you know, I think Atrios is still doing his thing. I mean, we could do... You know what? We could do a whole thing.
Salon.com. Remember when that was like the hub?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They had discussion forums and a dating platform that was part of Salon. It was gigantic. Not so much anymore. But anyway.
Yeah, I think the lesson is if you run an internet company, don't buy office space.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I go to the lesson that Kimberly learned, sadly. She had such a huge following on Facebook and overnight disappeared because of an algorithmic glitch, decided that she was spamming the website. Even though she wasn't spam. Mm-hmm. She would share the same article on her, two or three different pages. And they considered that, the algorithm flagged that as spam. And then she lost her, not only her profile page, but also her other pages. And so it was devastating. And that's one of the reasons why, for example, I am never paying Mark Zuckerberg for a blue check on Facebook or Instagram.
Exactly.
It's never going to happen. If you end up seeing a blue check next to my name on Instagram or Facebook, it's because I was verified the traditional way and I'm not paying for it. But I doubt that's going to happen. Getting a blue check on Instagram is like fucking impossible. But anyway, so that's BuzzFeed News. Meantime, as I said before, Tiny Trump escaped from his cigar box and started screaming about how law enforcement and the Department of Justice and so on are insurrectionists trying to interfere in the 2024 election by investigating Donald Trump. I know you are, but what am I, is what he's doing. You know, because of the insurrection, he's just using that now and applying that to the people who are currently investigating and prosecuting him. Here's Tiny Trump.
Insurrectionists have taken over our country and are rapidly destroying it at a level that nobody thought possible. They're using the levers of law enforcement and have completely weaponized the FBI and DOJ to interfere with our elections, to rig our elections, to steal our elections. These elections were once sacred. We are now living in a third world country.
God, I'm so fucking sick of these people telling me that fire is cold and down is up, and it's just...
Well, he's so clearly just defending himself. Has nothing to do with democracy or elections or the Constitution or anything like that. This is all about...
You can't let that happen to me!
That's all he's doing.
I also kind of want to be like, you know, did someone give him his meds twice today?
Well,
Aunt Doris, did you give Grandpa his meds twice by accident?
There's a good possibility that the meds are involved when he does these videos, because the one thing I notice is not only are they just in total darkness for some reason. I mean, he lives in the sunniest state in the union. Doesn't Florida have the most sunshine of any state in the union per year? I think
this
it does.
This is Caravaggio phase. He's chiaroscuro now.
And his videos are just like darkness. He's just in a cave somewhere. He's in the underground tunnels under Mar-a-Lago. And then one eye is gigantic and the other eye is super squinty. So he looks like Bill the Cat. That's what he looks in these videos. And
I gotta tell you, that's the whole impression I get of Mar-a-Lago, though, is it is this big, damp, dark, gaudy, over-decorated, mildewy, like,
nouveau-riche,
super air-conditioned hole, you know, in Florida that's, like, probably burning up, like, several African countries' revenue every day to keep air-conditioned, like, just because, like, he wears those fucking suits all the time.
Yeah.
You know, he's, like, a sweaty, ugh.
Yeah, and he does look very glossy. All the time. He always
glossy,
walks around.
That's a great word.
Looking super, super glossy. And by the way, Tiny Trump wasn't done talking about insurrectionists. This is actually a truly evil clip right here. He was just being stupid with the insurrectionists, doing a whole twisty, I know you are, but what am I thing. But he started talking about homelessness and how he wants to arrest all homeless people and put them into concentration camps, basically.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, here's Tiny Trump's grand scheme, his final solution. Yeah, I saw. Mine too. Kimberly was just showing me her lack of blue check. All right. Yeah, it happened.
We'll ban urban camping wherever possible.
Urban camping. He's calling it urban camping. Is that even a thing?
What?
Yeah.
Never heard of it, but it actually sounds fun. Like,
yeah.
I mean, urban camping sounds like better to me than camping in the fucking woods.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Where some like branch can fall on your tent and kill you. I just know.
Okay, here we go. Let's start again.
We'll ban urban camping wherever possible. Violators of these bans will be arrested, but they will be given the option to accept treatment and services if they're willing to be rehabilitated. Many of them don't want that.
Okay, let's pause right there on...
Is he talking about homeless encampments? Is that what he's talking about?
Yeah, he wants to round up the homeless people, arrest them, and either give them the option of going to prison for violating the ban on urban camping, or they can go to these Trump concentration
camps.
Re-education
like
camps.
Korea.
Yes, we're going to rehabilitate them. Yes, but they don't want to do that. It's
imagine.
You know what? It's not.
Why would you not want to go get beaten with rubber hoses and hung up by your feet and told you're a piece of shit and a drain on society? I mean,
The thing is, they're not really into the idea of being there. They just have no choice because in many cases, and I'm generalizing, but in many cases, people who are in these encampments are addicted to fentanyl, and the fentanyl high only lasts an hour or two. After about 2 hours, the fentanyl high, for example, crashes and you start getting the DTs. And the only way you can get more is to get to your dealer as quickly as possible. And the dealers are sort of the centerpiece of some of these camps. And so that's why they have to stay close. Whereas the organic heroin used to create a high that would last, you know, a day or two. I don't know the overall length of time
there. 6-8 hours.
Yeah, it's hours. It's not a day's thing. It's hours. A long time, but it's hours.
Yeah, but it's
lasts shorter and shorter.
It lasts much longer than the fentanyl high, suffice to say. So that's why everyone has to stay in close proximity. That's one of the contributing factors to this. That's why it's about the addiction and then the need to remain close to the source of the drugs that they require. Because, you know, no one wants
crack
to have DT.
Works kind of the same way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's a shortened, intensified version of the cocaine high.
Obviously, there are a lot of contributing factors to homelessness, but one of the primary reasons for some of these tent cities that we're seeing in metropolitan areas is due to the prevalence of fentanyl and this new trucker meth, the P2P meth.
That's frightening.
Yeah, and that's turning the old meth again. The old meth was terrible, but people who were taking the old meth were kind of like the life of the party. But the new meth is and it's not new meth, but it's the dominating meth on the street right now is P2P meth, which very often turns users of that meth into fucking monsters who, you know, will spend the afternoon stabbing their mattress, insisting that their girlfriend's lover is hiding inside the mattress. Shit like that would go down. And so I think that's sort of what's in the center of all of this that Donald Trump certainly doesn't understand or doesn't care to understand. So when he talked about, well, they just don't want to leave. They just don't want to go. It's not about that.
Yeah, they just don't want the hassle.
They just
of an
can't.
Apartment.
They can't go. So here's more of a tiny Trump talking about sending homeless people to encampments. You know, the final solution.
Many of them don't want that. But we'll give them the option. We will then open up large parcels of inexpensive land, bring in doctors, psychiatrists, social workers, and drug rehab specialists, and create tent cities where the homeless can be relocated and their problems identified. But we'll open up our cities again, make them livable, and make them beautiful.
This is an out-of-sight, out-of-mind situation. This has nothing to do with
rehabilitation. It's also like socialism. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, I know. So there's a tiny Trump making a mess of things again, and Elon Musk is helping him win, just so we're clear about this. Let's talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene pantsing herself in the Mayorkas hearings. You may or may not know, Mayorkas is the Secretary of Homeland Security, and they're trying to impeach him because Border Patrol has set all new records in confiscating fentanyl and meth and potential terrorists at the border. So for this, he must be impeached. And that's what these hearings are all about. Republicans on a actual witch hunt. And Marjorie Taylor Greene be clowning herself by turning this into a PR opportunity to get her voice onto every single...
She was trying to make it into a fucking episode of Jerry Springer. I mean, it was so... It's very rare that we see someone so enthusiastically launch themselves onto the fence that impales them. You know, like...
Right.
Let's roll the clip.
Okay, yeah. Here's where Marjorie Taylor Greene calls Mayorkas a liar and then gets scolded for it, appropriately enough.
Outrage, complete outrage, where China is poisoning America's children, poisoning our teenagers, poisoning our young people.
She's talking about fentanyl. That's what she said, because it's Chinese fentanyl that she's freaking out about.
The same tone of voice. It's like, I asked you for vanilla cold cream and a nitro lid. Can't you get anything right, you stupid baristas? You know, just like.
Yeah.
How long are you going to let this go on?
Longer.
Congresswoman, let me assure you that we're not letting it go on. We are fighting this.
No, I reclaim my time. You're a liar. You are letting this go on, and the numbers.
Well,
no, obviously.
Actually, I want you to take the words of the speaker down.
Oh, it's Benny Thompson is saying, yeah, I've had enough of this shit.
So in making a ruling on this, it's pretty clear that the rules state you can't impugn someone's character. Identifying or calling someone a liar is unacceptable in this committee.
And he, by the way, he's the Republican chairman. That's Congressman Green.
Well, and then she came on and said that other people call us insurrectionists and white supremacists and racists. So why can't I call him a liar? And Dana Goldberg pointed out, well, honey, if you're saying all of those things about yourself and then saying that you want to call somebody else a liar and that doesn't seem right, you're basically admitting that you're an insurrectionist, a white supremacist, and a racist.
Right. They get around to finally scolding her, and I think it ended up where they said that she could no longer speak.
Yep.
Nope. Yeah. The rest of the hearing.
Yeah.
That when Thompson, Benny Thompson said, you know, take the words down, he like that means like you are like zipped. Like zip it.
Right.
Yeah, once that happens, you are no longer allowed to speak at that hearing.
He totally sounds like the principal whose office you don't want to end up in, you know?
Right,
he's just like, son, I don't want to have to call your mother.
All right, let's continue with this scene here in the House.
State, you can't impugn someone's character. Identifying or calling someone a liar is unacceptable in this committee. And I make the ruling that we strike those words.
Sorry, just a point of order. It's a legitimate question.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Did you move to take the words down or to strike them, Mr. Thompson?
Yeah, sorry, I just stepped in.
Point of order. Take them down. Yeah,
there's some confusion, and I'm a little confused myself what the difference is between striking words or taking them down.
Striking the words just means removing them from the testimony, but when you take them down,
they've
it
never
means
happened.
That the person never spoke, and their entire presence at the hearing is negated.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, yeah. That makes sense.
Standings, if words are taken down, that means that the member can no longer speak in whatever the proceeding is that those words were said.
All right.
Personal inquiry. Point of personal inquiry.
There's no such thing.
Stand by just a second.
You does terminate idiot.
Time. Where'd she get that? Personal inquiry. God, she's such a rank amateur. See, that's the thing. When you're too busy mouthing off and you think that's your entire job, which she does. I'm a rodeo clown. That's what I'm paid to do. That's what she thinks. So you get into a situation where you have to deal with parliamentary procedure and you start blurting things like point of personal inquiry.
Oh, it's like if you even done Model UN in high school, you stupid cow, you would know that's not a thing.
Speaking. So the gentlelady is no longer recognized. The chair now recognizes Mr. Ivy, I believe.
Can I make a point of inquiry, Mr. Chairman?
You can.
So the ruling was that because she used the word liar, that was taken down, which I agree with.
Yes.
But accusing...
statement of fact is very similar to the posters that Mr.
There's no statement of fact.
There's no statement of fact.
Bullshit.
There's no factual basis for the statement.
Bullshit. We're not here to...
Someone said bullshit.
Who said bullshit?
Bullshit.
I want to say it was Goldman. I think it was Dan Goldman. Goldman.
It was either Goldman or Eric Swalwell.
Yeah, it was one of the two.
One of them, yeah. Because we have another clip here that features Eric Swalwell in it. So let's continue and get to the end of this.
Debate this, okay? And the ruling was made by the chair that these... previous words were not against the rules of Clause 1 and Clause 4 of Rule 17. But to tell someone that they are a liar is, it's pretty clear in the rules.
Slander is clearly covered by the rule.
Okay, that's it. So that is that particular clip. And I think this next one is...
I just love that that's not a thing, honey.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
Like, point of personal inquiry...
Yeah, no.
I want my latte.
You're just making shit up. You're like, I'm surprised you didn't use the word heretofore in there. Heretofore, I'd like to make a point of personal inquiry.
After Kanye West said...
Oh, this is, all right. This is Eric Swalwell starting off, talking about Kanye West and Nick Fuentes and that whole group. And wait till you hear Marjorie Taylor Greene's response to Eric Swalwell. It's just fucking shameless.
After Kanye West said that he was going to declare... DEFCON 3 on the Jews. Mr. Secretary, do you believe that all of us have a responsibility to elevate our rhetoric and to denounce anti-Semitism and anti-police rhetoric in this country so that Jewish Americans and police officers can be safer?
Congressman, I do.
Thank you, and I yield back.
The gentleman yields, and now I recognize the gentlelady from Georgia, Ms. Green.
So this makes me think that it happened before what we were just talking about.
Yeah,
so this
it is did, sort of otherwise personal. She wouldn't have been able to talk. Yeah.
Exactly right.
She was in the cone of silence after that.
Right, so this is even before she called Mayorkas a liar and got chastised for it and sanctioned for it.
That was quite entertaining from someone that had a sexual relationship with a Chinese liar. Spy, and everyone knows it.
No, they don't. You smarmy piece of shit. It's a lie.
So inappropriate. I mean, this is not normal, folks. This is like a fucking clown show.
Yeah, it is.
And these fucking mealy-mouthed... anyway, please.
David Ferguson at a loss for words.
Yes. No, okay, the words were coming. I just didn't want you to have to throw out your bleep finger because I just really want to fucking throw down on her. Her fucking skin is like concrete. Her face is like a fucking potato. Her little squinty eyes look like piss holes in the goddamn snow. She's just like a fucking like troll, like an actual bridge troll that somehow got herself elected to Congress. And it's just...
How do you really feel, David?
Yeah.
I feel like the fucking devil wears Lululemon.
Okay, on that note, we're going to take one last break, and when we come back, This Week in American Gun Culture, right after these words.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Doesn't matter how hard I try to put you down, walk on by, I dream about you, I think about you. Doesn't matter that I shut you out, douse the fire, try to put the flame out, I dream about you, I think about you. I fall for you, every day in the same old way, I fall for you.
Yeah, this is a great Trisette. Recording artist, songwriter, singer for Bob Malone, and one of our favorites here on the show is a song called Fall For You. Yeah, love it. BobSeska.com. Click on the link for this episode, 420, dude, and download this song into your record collection. Do it now. Yeah. BobSeska.com.
Do you guys remember the Chevy Chase song from Saturday Night Live? Chevy, every time you take that fall, I wish that you were falling. No.
Yeah,
I remember that. I remember the girl singing that. Yeah.
I think about that way more often than I probably should.
Yeah. You know, it's funny with me and SNL. I didn't really watch the early seasons because when it first went on the air, I was 4. So it was a little bit beyond me at that age. But I guess, so when did you guys watch it? You had to have been pretty young. You're not much older than I am, are you? I mean, so you had to have been teeny tiny.
I watched it with my dad and saw Mr. Bill for the first time.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
It totally freaked me out.
I was 8 when the show premiered. I started watching it probably when I was 10, so 1977.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't start watching it until 82 when I was 11. So that's
so you missed all the early stuff. I mean, you can see them all on YouTube, but I do remember that song, all the girls singing it to Chevy. It's adorable.
Yeah. I mean, I started watching during that last Eddie Murphy, Joe Piscopo season. And then
you see Candy Slice. Yeah. Hilda Radner as Patti Smith.
Well, I saw all that, but after the fact, I wasn't watching it live at that point.
Jimmy Mick. Baby's hair, bulging eyes, lips so thick.
My season, the season that I think informs my opinion on SNL, it's sort of the benchmark for judging every other season, was the 1984 season with Christopher Guest and Billy Crystal and Julia Louis-Dreyfus and that and Martin Short, that whole crew that lasted for one season. And then it was like that lineup and then the Dana Carvey, Dennis Miller, Phil Hartman, Jan Hooks lineup. And then I really love the Will Ferrell lineup, you know. Yeah.
Happened, you know.
Yeah, Anyway.
I curse you, Bob Seska, by the way. Every time I hear Harlan Crowe's name, I hear, Harlan Crowe.
Harlan Crowe. Yeah. I mean, this is a great Jiminy Glick name. I want Martin Short to.
Jiminy Glick moments. And what is your real name? Edie Falco.
So funny. Endlessly funny, those Jiminy Glick sketches. Okay, so this week in gun culture, here's a recap as to what's happened with firearm deaths.
God.
A 16-year-old was shot for ringing the wrong doorbell. A 20-year-old was shot and killed for driving down the wrong driveway. An 18-year-old is in critical condition for trying to get into the wrong car. And a 6-year-old and her dad were shot because her baseball rolled onto the wrong lawn.
I thought it was basketball, and I thought her mother got shot, too.
Maybe that was it. Whatever.
A kid's ball rolls onto your lawn, and your immediate instinct is to grab your fucking gun and try to kill them? What is your actual fucking problem?
And by the way, I got to thank JoJo from Jurors for compiling that list that I just read. It was very convenient to have all the extremists all in one place. And this is what this is. This is extremism brought on by, whether you want to call it the Trump effect, the Fox News effect. I think it's the Red Hat Entertainment Complex across the board. I think it's the entire...
Yeah, well, it's the whole thing that makes people hate and fear their fellow Americans. It's this whole idea that, like, you are under attack.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, I don't understand, like, going berserk on a bunch of 17-year-old girls at Texas, the cheerleaders. Like, the girl actually, like, tried to get in the wrong car, and, like, the response is kill.
Well, and she was already out of the car when she got shot. She wasn't even in the car anymore.
Into the car that she got back into. Like, it's insane. Like,
it's, and I, you know, the 84-year-old that shot, Mr. Jarl, through his door. Now, they say it's a storm door, so can you see through a storm door? Regardless. Yes. Okay, so he saw
it. Okay, in California, a storm door is a large pane of glass.
Yeah, okay. I don't. We don't have those here. It's just not a thing yet. But anyway, it's like, okay, so I see this person at my door.
Yeah.
I have a gun. Leave my property. How about we start with that?
Well,
instead of just automatically shooting the poor child and then shooting him again.
This is about the fear that's instilled by these media platforms that are telling all these people that not only should they fear these people, but it's okay to defend your home in this kind of over-the-top way. If you feel at all threatened, I mean, this is sort of the origin of the stand your ground laws. If you feel threatened.
People feel threatened opening a can of soup.
Yeah.
Like, it just,
Okay. Being the only person that identifies as female of the three of us, women walk around this country in fear constantly.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And are we going around and shooting fucking people? Are we? No, we're not.
Yeah.
So fuck anybody that these men that are fucking terrified. If you're too scared because somebody knocked on your door or somebody turned around in your driveway or some six-year-old's basketball gets onto your property or mistakenly some cute little cheerleader gets into your car by mistake, you are not capable of owning firearms, you fucking bullshit, pieces of shit, whiny little tiny penis assholes.
Oh,
yeah.
Testify, girl, because like...
I mean, I walk around my streets. The other day I was walking and it was like 9 o'clock in the morning, right? So decent time of day, nice day outside.
Yeah.
And there are these two, what appeared, they were kind of far away, about maybe 50 yards, if that. But the taller of the two kids, and I'm saying kids because they were kind of lanky, kept yelling at the other one, like at the top of his lungs. It didn't sound like a girl, top of his lungs. And then this kid would kind of run away and then run towards that kid again, to the point where I just stopped walking. I'm like, I'm not getting near these people.
Yeah, this looks erratic and weird. Yeah,
and I didn't pull out a gun and shoot them.
Oh, and by the way, meantime, fuck you to the New York Post. I don't know if you saw this headline, but the headline goes, Kansas City home where 16-year-old Ralph Jarl was shot in the head had no solicitor's sign. The suggestion is that there was a no solicitor's sign on this guy's house, so therefore it's fine if Ralph Jarl was shot in the head.
No, because I have the same thing.
Solicitors are fucking selling magazines.
Right.
That's a whole different, it's not, it just does not mean do not touch. It does not mean like, and the kid thought he was at the right house.
He thought he was at the right house. And that's the thing. It's like, hi, I'm here to, he didn't even have the opportunity to say, here, I'm here to pick up my brothers.
This is these are kids. They're children and they're not allowed to be children. They're treated automatically as suspects.
Yes.
And dealt with lethal force. And absolutely. And these fuckers are like, you know, they're all, they start the race war. We're going to have a race war. It's like, dude, you're the only people that are coming to the race war.
Yeah. Well, I suppose we should leave on a positive note that Washington State is set to become the 10th state to ban assault weapons sales.
Yay.
Yeah, doing the right thing. Yeah. Making Washington State safer. Let's see here. Washington is set to become the 10th state to ban the sale of AR-15s and other guns it classifies as assault weapons. The state house passed the assault weapons sales ban 56 to 42 on Wednesday, sending it to Governor Jay Inslee, who has already said he'll sign the bill into law. My guess is it's already been signed since this article was published. The bill previously passed both legislative chambers, but lawmakers then had to agree on amendments. Public officials nationwide have faced increasing calls to crack down on semi-automatic military-style firearms like the AR-15, which have been linked to some of the deadliest mass shootings in the U.S. in the past decade. You know, I have a question about this. On a video I shot Monday into Tuesday, I posted it on Instagram Monday and then went up on Twitter on Tuesday. I talked about this firearm that's being made for children. It's a fun-sized version of the AR-15 that they're calling the JR-15.
Of course they are, because that's adorable.
Yeah, it's being manufactured by a company called We One Tactical. We One as in smaller ones. Get it? And so I wonder if those firearms will also be banned in Washington State and some of these other states. These are firearms that are being specifically marketed to children. Mm-hmm. So children need to have military style firearms. Yes.
Christy Noem was bragging that her grandbaby already has
not even 2 years old already has a gun, a 22, I believe.
If I could put money in that for that child's college tuition in the bank and let it mature.
Of course.
I actually have. Did you see the videos, Bob, of the Matt Walsh protesters that showed up and just completely? Did you see?
I didn't. But I noticed that Matt Walsh was hacked. I think all of his stuff was hacked the other day. I'm not sure.
You have got to see these videos. The fucking I can't remember what college it is, but the pep band showed up and they're playing this romping, stomping like bluesy, and they're all chanting "fuck Matt Walsh," and somebody as the Groypers were leaving the thing, which they had to cancel, or half the people didn't get in because they got a space the wrong size, or I don't know, it was a clusterfuck, and somebody poured out thousands of marbles on the floor, so they were all channeled to this one because it was became a safety hazard, so they had to move them all to this one place where all the protesters were waiting to scream in their faces, and then they couldn't get to their cars, and when they got to their cars, they couldn't get out because the protesters were blocking all the exit points. I mean, it was a fucking you gotta watch. It's glorious.
Okay, yeah. I definitely want to watch that now. That'll be some weekend entertainment for me.
I just love the whole marbles thing. It's okay, we're also gonna paint a hole in the side of a mountain and drive a train into it. And it's the cartoon disruption defense, I think, is yay us, you know?
Yep. Okay.
Let's see what's the itching powder and the and bees. Okay, anyway.
Oh man. Hey, you know what? Coming up on the Shadow Docket, I've got a special announcement.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Maria Bartiromo and Jeanine Pirro seem to have been fired from Fox as Rupert Murdoch moves to... Oh, my.
Are you serious? Oh,
MSN
my God.
MSN is reporting this right now because of the 785... blah, blah, blah.
More monkeys. Here we go.
So, did you say... So, Maria Bartiromo and Jeanine Pirro...
And Jeanine Pirro will be fired from Fox News because Rupert wants to be, quote, less vulnerable... unquote, following the network's nearly blah, blah, blah. Radar Online has learned MSN is reporting this. Blah, blah, blah. Puck founder and Fox News critic Dylan Byers predicted that both of them would be axed from the network. If the two reporters are not fired, Bartiromo will be warned to be careful regarding risking committing... So their lawyers are talking with Fox lawyers right now, I assume, looking over their contracts right now.
I wonder if that's why Dan Bongino was fired.
Oh, I bet it was. Yeah. He's easy. He's low-hanging fruit.
Told you
He's
guys,
no big deal.
This is keep watching. This is going to be there's going to be the axes are falling. And it's Kenneth telling me that they went for the women, you know, fucking Fox News, fire. If you want to narrow your legal exposure, fire Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I bet Carlson's contract is pretty good.
Yeah. Plus he's got the ratings. I don't know if they'll do that.
Yeah, but ratings on Fox don't matter that much.
That's true. Ratings are irrelevant in television anymore.
Well, especially on Fox News, because they don't get a lot of commercials that make them. It's the money that they make is from cable.
That's true. Okay, Shadow Docket's coming up next. I do have a special announcement. Something that we're rolling out once again. We're doing this again. something that we've already done in the past, but we're doing it again. That's about as much as I can reveal.
Is it the 100th caller contest?
Yeah. Plus, God damn it, Ann Coulter is making sense. Something's wrong with the universe. And a whole lot more. Shout out to patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. $5 a month. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Bye.
A bong.